Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
I do hope your Friday's going well. Friday, April 19th, a few days before Good Shepherd Sunday. Readings are just so beautiful for this week. And if you get a chance, always read them ahead of time. That's what my spiritual director always advises me to do. And I really think it helps. We were just talking about the readings for this weekend with my friend and one of my coworkers at Ave Maria Radio, our own Dr. Marcus Peter. He hosts a local show on Ave called Unveiling the Covenants, and he's a convert to Catholicism, and we spent 20 minutes just breaking down the readings for the weekend, and just really, really, really beautiful in terms of what happens when you see how the Church, as Marcus explains, weaves everything together so perfectly. So just a little suggestion, in addition to obviously reading the Mass readings daily, to see if you can do that before you get to Mass on the weekend, or even if you are blessed enough to be able to attend Mass every day. Coming up on this Friday morning, our very own Doug Keck, who is the President and Chief Operating Officer of our wonderful EWTN. We're going to take the inside look, or inside word, as we call it, as to what's coming up in wonderful EWTN programming, both radio and TV. And, of course, everything can be found on the main website at EWTN.com. And then always I like to ask Doug questions about the culture, what's happening, to get his inside word on that, because he is so well experienced, not only in all the years he served at EWTN, but his prior time in the secular media. And speaking of secular media, bottom of the hour is our Fact Check Friday, and today we are going to look at just how out of touch the media are. I'll share a very interesting story and experience that happened to me several years ago when I was speaking down in the Cincinnati area to a wonderful pro-life group. And we're also going to take a look at what Katie Couric said about people who voted for Donald Trump, just painting all the people who did that with a very, very broad and insulting and mean-spirited brush. Just really nasty. But good for Bill Maher. Not a fan of his politics, of course, but at least every once in a while he does call out liberals when they've gone too far. And he challenges her on that. And we'll share that clip with you. And then I'm going to close with some quotes from a really well-written piece by Bernard Goldberg, who's been looking at the situation that continues to develop, by the way, with NPR. And the controversy over Early Berliner, one of their top business editors who has since resigned, self-identified liberal, says he voted against Trump twice, but that has nothing to do with his coverage as a journalist, that they're supposed to do journalism, at least attempt to do journalism one-on-one, right? Try to get at least two sides of the story. And there's usually more than two sides if you have any background in the media and have covered stories. But basically, he said he tried to, I'm talking about Berliner here, tried to reach out to management for many years to talk to them about this problem, and he would get an audience maybe with a middle manager, and they'd say, oh yeah, thanks, we'll take that into consideration, and nothing changed. And then he tried several times to sit down with the top officers, and the meetings were canceled, they were forgotten about, and so he said, I have to speak up. So all of this is continuing to develop, and now there's some concern being raised again, even more concern about the CEO of NPR, Catherine Marr. And this is being raised by the founder of Wikipedia. That's where she used to work before she started at NPR last month. So much to discuss in Fact Check Friday. And then we'll wrap up at 39 minutes past the hour with our friends from the Newman Guide program, the Cardinal Newman Society, Kelly Solomon with us. Highs and lows of Catholic commencements for 2024. That's a segment you don't want to miss, I'm sure. All right, let's take a look at the forecast, shall we, on a Friday, April 19th. Thunderstorms across the southeast, and then we have elevated to locally critical fire weather in the state of Colorado. A few strong to marginally severe thunderstorms are possible across the southeast U.S. today. A marginal risk, level 1 of 5, outlook has now been issued. Strong winds and hail will be the main threats, elevated to locally critical fire weather conditions, as we mentioned, that will be persisting across the part of the state of Colorado in the south central area today, and that's due to some dry conditions and winds there. 4 minutes past the hour, let's get to the news and see what's happening in and around our world on a Friday. It's April 19th. Catholic news agency is reporting this morning that Scotland's only gender clinic for minors now formally pausing the prescription of puberty blockers and hormone medications that are designed to facilitate gender transitions for children after a review commissioned by the English government questioned the efficacy of those practices. CNA explaining the announcement effectively ends a practice of providing sex change drugs and hormone medications to children in Scotland, and this is coming just 1 month after England instituted the same ban. Now, according to the statement, these remedies were paused because of the findings in the CAS review. That was a comprehensive report on gender transition treatments for minors commissioned by the English government. The report led by Dr. Hilary Cass finding that the rationale used to justify sex change drugs and hormone alterations to facilitate sex changes in children is based on very weak evidence and that the health risks they pose to children are unclear. Researchers, meanwhile, in the U.S. have also been studying the potential that puberty blockers could cause irreversible negative effects on children. A study published by the Mayo Clinic last month found that boys who take puberty blockers could suffer irreversible harm based on the effects the drug have on their testicular cells. And although some Republican-led states in the U.S. have begun to prohibit doctors from prescribing these drugs and hormone medications to children, the practice, as CNA explains, is still legal in more than half the country. Access to the drugs and access to so-called sex change surgeries for minors becoming a leading cause of division between Republicans and Democrats in the country. In other news this morning, Israel launching a retaliatory strike against Iran. Reporter Raf Sanchez says there's not a lot of clarity on what was hit, the level of damage, or if there were any casualties.
It is not clear right now whether Israel carried out this strike using jet aircraft, using long-range missiles, or as the New York Times was possibly reporting, drones potentially launched from inside of Iran itself.
Several explosions reported near an airbase in the Iranian city of Isfahan, home to a number of sites linked to Iran's nuclear program. The International Atomic Energy Agency says it can confirm that none of the sites sustained any damage. This comes after Israel vowed to respond to Iran's missile and drone attack earlier this week. The FBI very concerned about threats to Jewish communities in the U.S. as a holiday Passover approaches. FBI Director Christopher Wray, speaking at an event on Wednesday hosted by a Jewish community nonprofit safety and training organization called Secure Community Network, Wray telling the group of security officials the FBI looks for lone factors who might target high-profile events or religious locations for violence. Passover begins on Monday at sunset as homes and synagogues hold a traditional first-night dinner called a Seder. Passover, which marks the Israelites' exit from Egypt, lasts for 8 days and 8 nights. And Michael Kastner tells us more than 24 Google employees reportedly have been fired following sit-in protests over a project involving the company and the Israeli government.
The tech news website The Verge says it obtained an internal memo from Google's head of global security saying a number of employees took over office spaces, defaced our property, and physically impeded the work of others. He said in the memo that 28 employees were fired, adding their behavior was unacceptable, extremely disruptive, and made coworkers feel threatened. The employees were protesting Google's involvement with the $1.2 billion Project Nimbus, a cloud computing project with Israel's government and military. Amazon is also involved in the project.
More than 100 pro-Palestinian demonstrators have been issued summons for trespassing for protests at Columbia University. New York City Mayor Eric Adams saying the school students have a proud history of protests, but they're not allowed to trespass. Adams says the university's president reached out to the NYPD for support after numerous warnings to students and others occupying the campus South Lawn. And the U.S.'s Tammy Trujillo tells us has stopped the U.N. from approving a Palestinian request for full membership status by using its veto in the Security Council.
The U.K. and Switzerland abstained from Thursday's vote, while the remaining 12 members voted yes. The State Department calls the Palestinian Authority's effort to gain member status premature. The department said the Security Council's 15 members do not fully agree that the Palestinian Authority met the membership criteria, including standing questions about who governs the Gaza Strip. The U.S. ambassador to the U.N. on Wednesday said the resolution would not necessarily get us to a place where we can find a two-state solution between Israel and the Palestinians.
Republican Mike Johnson setting up some high-stakes votes that might end his short term as House Speaker. Defying the conservative wing of his party, Johnson plans for House votes on aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, and a separate bill for the border.
Well, the Speaker is showing tremendous courage, and he obviously understands the critical nature of the aid for Ukraine at this time.
That's Republican Rep. Mike Turner of Ohio defending Mike Johnson and emphasizing the importance of helping our allies, he says. Defying the conservative wing in the party, Johnson plans for House votes on aid to Ukraine, again Israel and Taiwan, and a separate bill for the border. Concerned conservatives have, meanwhile, threatened to oust Johnson, arguing the border should be tied to Ukraine and force Democrats to vote for the passage. Johnson needs the help of Democrats to get the bills to finish the line, and some have hinted that they would even vote against his ousting. The White House is now clarifying that President Biden's uncle was not eaten by cannibals. During two campaign stops in Pennsylvania yesterday, the president said his uncle Ambrose Finnegan was killed in World War II and then went on to make the cannibal claim.
He got shot down in New Guinea, and they never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
On Thursday, the White House press secretary telling reporters aboard Air Force One he was only expressing how incredibly proud he was, apparently, of Finnegan, and he was not eaten by New Guinea natives in 1944. Meanwhile, the Associated Press reported that Biden misstated key details about his uncle's death. Finnegan died on May 14, 1944. According to the Pentagon's defense, PLW-MIA accounting agency, Finnegan was a passenger on an Army Air Force's plane that he ditched for unknown reasons in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of New Guinea. That's according to the agency. Now, following the story regarding his uncle, USA Today did report that Biden has a long history of embellishing stories on a number of subjects, whether it's being arrested during civil rights protests, of which no evidence has been found, or the scale of a past kitchen fire at his Delaware home, or an often-told exchange he had with an Amtrak conductor who was dead when Biden said the conversation occurred. And for the first time ever, a Gallup poll on the nation's sleeping habits does show that the majority of Americans, well, not getting enough shut-eye. Experts say a lot of this has to do with our stress levels.
If it's been going on for quite some time, then it becomes more like a bad habit, and it's hard to break, but it's not impossible.
That's Dr. Suhaib Hawk, a sleep expert at San Antonio's University Health System. He says that folks who can't sleep need to stop scrolling through social media before bed. That adds to stress levels, and the light from your phone awakens your brain. The Gallup poll found that only 2 in 5 Americans say they get enough sleep, and that women are less likely than men to report getting enough rest at night. Aaron Rial tells us a new study finds that in most states in the U.S., a single person needs to earn over 6 figures to live comfortably.
Using the MIT Living Wage Calculator, a smart asset analysis reveals that the national median for living comfortably alone is over $89,000. The most expensive states for a single person, Massachusetts, Hawaii, California, New York, and Washington, you'll need to make well over $100,000 to live comfortably in all of these states. Comfortable is defined as a monthly income needed to cover a 50-30-20 budget, which allocates 50% of your earnings for necessities, 30% for discretionary spending, and 20% for saving or investment. The least expensive states, West Virginia, Arkansas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, and Kentucky, all requiring around $80,000 to live comfortably.
Prospective home buyers are feeling the squeeze as mortgage rates rise. Minnesota Federal Reserve President Neil Kashari says getting inflation down is the absolute key.
Ultimately, we know what we need to do. We need to get inflation back down to 2%. Once we do that, or we get closer to it, we'd be in a position to start dialing back some of our interest rate increases, and then you would expect that to flow through to cheaper mortgages for American families.
The average long-term U.S. mortgage rate jumped above 7%, its highest level in nearly 5 months. Rising rates can add hundreds of dollars a month for borrowers. The timing couldn't be worse, with spring being the housing market's busiest time of the year. And New Orleans Saints fandom is now visible at the Vatican. The team says Saints owner Gail Benson gave the Pope a customized New Orleans Saints jersey during an audience on Wednesday, the papal audience. The white road jersey had the name Papa Francesco and the number 1 on the back. A spokesperson says Benson met with the Pope as part of a 10-day trip to Italy, Vatican City, and Germany, in which she's taking up investment in New Orleans, or talking up investment in New Orleans. And finally, in our newscast on a Friday morning, Bree Tennis tells us today we celebrate a very special birthday of America's, well, fourth favorite cartoon cat.
Today is National Sylvester the Cat Day. He came onto the scene in 1945 as one of the earliest feline stars, and he's had a rough go. He's died more times than any other Looney Tunes character. And it is mostly his fault the Tuxedo Cat is filled with shenanigans and frenemies, think Tweety Bird. He has a catchphrase, too. There's only one way to celebrate Sylvester today. Binge watch some cartoons.
15 minutes past the hour. It is a Friday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection, a co-production, of course, of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Speaking of EWTN, our very own President and Chief Operating Officer, Doug Keck, up next as he joins us every week at this time for Inside Word, giving us a sneak peek at all the great programming. We'll be right back.
Another year has come and gone, and whether you like it or not, Uncle Sam requires you to make an accounting.
Perhaps it's time to call Myler and Zipka. They work with you to legally minimize your tax bill and identify ways to reduce future taxes. Eliminate the nagging feeling that you're paying more taxes than you need to. Call Ken Zipka today at 734-930-5500. Myler and Zipka. Integrity, excellent value, and people dedicated to a long-term relationship. 734-930-5500.
Buying a home is a huge milestone, but when you need a mortgage, it's hard to know who to trust. For your home financing, choose Alliance Catholic Credit Union. They share your faith and values and support the local Catholic community. Now through May 31st, unlock your dream home with a minimum 3% down payment, and we will waive your PMI. Save money up front and in your monthly payment. Get started today at AllianceCatholic.com or call 877-950-2228.
Federally insured by NCUA, NMLS number 401254, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Peter Herbeck, Executive Vice President of Renewal Ministries and host of Fire on the Earth. I'm inviting you to join me for a special presentation at Christ the King Church in Ann Arbor. Andy Comiskey, Founding Director of Desert Stream, will speak on sexual integrity and gender identity and how we can develop clarity and compassion for our spiritual gift. The talk begins Tuesday, April 23rd at 7 p.m. and will include Q&A sessions. It's free and there's no registration necessary. Learn more in the slider at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Always great to catch up with Doug Keck, President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN. So, pretty big anniversary coming up related to our foundress, the amazing Mother Angelica, right? Good morning.
Absolutely. Tomorrow would be our 101st birthday. Aww. And, you know, people have seen some spots probably talking about it. Obviously, Raymond did a fabulous program on The World Over that aired last night. If people want to catch that on demand or when it re-airs, that would be great. He talked to some of the sisters from Arizona and talked to Father John Paul. And you know, obviously has his own remembrances as the biographer. Right. And he worked directly with Mother, obviously. So some clips from that, some funny stuff in it as well. Always was funny and serious. That was Mother's great gift to be able to do both of those things and to keep things moving along, light when they needed to be and deep when they needed to be. So we also have today, tomorrow morning, I should say, at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, the Holy Rosary in honor of Mother with our friars from our own chapel. People can check that out. And then after that, we've got a Mass coming from Rome, actually, and our good friend Joe Roche from the Marian Fathers, Immaculate Conception, will be doing the Mass, and many EWTN people from our Rome office will be there, and so that'll be on at 10 a.m. Eastern time.
I actually attended that last year in Rome.
Okay,
that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah, that would have been the 100th. Yeah. Really, really special time. We've also got going to be airing. We had to tape delay it because of our schedule. Diocese of Brooklyn's Eucharistic Revival Mass will be airing on Saturday as well at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. And also in the morning after the Rosary, we've got a special program on from our Hidden Gems series on Catholic Shrines in America, and this is the Miraculous Medal one in Perryville, Missouri. It's a program that's great. It goes to the little-known hidden gems, really, of shrines that exist in the United States that many people are totally unaware of. Also, Scott Hahn joins me for Bookmark this week. People can check that out. Our Saints and Scoundrels has St. Francis of Assisi getting into the ring with Machiavelli. Those are always interesting. Women of Grace prophetically. Jeanette is doing a program having to talk about women in sports that's airing next week. Considering, you know, the whole Caitlin Clark thing and, you know, kind of raising that up and all the other issues that have come up with Title IX recently. And the protections or lack of protections
yeah.
for women in sports, of course.
You know, I'm sure she addresses this. I don't mean to interrupt you, but the thing that's frustrating to me is, and Jeanette and I have had conversations about this, where are the feminists in all of this?
Oh, it's always, well, it's the feminists on abortion, the feminists on anything. Women are actually the ones being the most damaged. I mean, we all know that when it comes to sex selection things, girls are the ones to go.
Right.
That's who they get rid of. All of those issues, amazingly, the feminist stripe suddenly looks the
Crickets.
Other way.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, not the one couldn't see this coming. Anybody with eyes to see and ears to hear could see that. And that's some of our exciting programming. There's some other programming, Living Divine Mercy. Father Chris talks about actually human trafficking. That's next week. And we also have a special program on Armenia's Christians, another group that has been persecuted forever, basically. And so if you want to find out any more, EWTN.com, go to our on-demand page, of course, and our YouTube channel, and also check out our wonderful podcast, ever-growing, on our Podcast Central, and for audio as well as video through EWTN.
A lot. Wow. A lot of great stuff going on. I wanted to ask you, I know that you must be in the midst also very busy and working on coverage for the Eucharistic Congress that's coming up this summer.
Well, I'm lucky because I'm the king of delegation now these days, and I
the king of delegation.
I would like to take credit for building a wonderful staff, but whether I did or I didn't, they're doing all the work. So Peter Gagnon is really
you just get to take all the credit for it. There you go.
Right,
I like
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, but yeah. I've got to be honest and you know and say he's the one who's really been the main player for EWTN on the production side and. Len Marino and his team as well. Obviously, the news under Monsi's group, obviously, is involved. You know, one of the big things I know we're coming out with a press release that Michelle Johnson is working on as we speak and trying to get approved to get out the door. Talks about our coverage coming up, not only of the event itself, but, you know, those four distinct converging pilgrimages coming from the four corners of the United States over the next few months leading right up to the convocation, the event itself, which is very exciting, and people can get reports on that. Maybe you can check out when it passes through your part of the country. There are specific places you can go on their website and find out where the locations are and see our Lord being processed proudly throughout the United States.
I know I talked to Monsi down at the March for Life in January, and she's also, in addition to everything else she's doing, she's emceeing the Eucharistic Congress. I told her she has to have the gift of bilocation. She's so busy, but she's going to be emceeing, and then also is in touch with Holly, one of the producers for EWTN News and Death, talking about the Midwest area where they're coming to with the Eucharist. So there's so much cool stuff going on right now.
Right. There are a lot of things. Unfortunately, they get obscured by so many of the stupid things that are going on there, and that's why part of our problem not only is to cut through the fog of truth, but also to blow some of that away so people can see all the good work and the wonderful events that are happening. And you know, because all we hear is negativity, and many times we have to spend our time, you know, kind of clarifying some of that negativity. And this gives us a chance to talk about the more positive aspects of our faith. Obviously, something coming up on the 20th with Mother's birthday, 101st birthday, obviously it was nothing more central to everything Mother Angelica did. Obviously it was Jesus, but specifically Jesus in the child Jesus and in the Eucharist. I mean, that's what her sisters do. It's all about Eucharistic adoration, and Mother was championing that at a period of time when many people in the church had kind of poo-pooed that as, well, we need the active Christ. That's the passive Christ. We need to be the active Christ. Well, we need the reality is if you don't have that Christ internalized through the passive Christ there, your activities are going to go askew. And I think in many cases we've seen where people got their actions
that work for us, right?
Right, actions out in front of, you know, their internal metanoia, their changes in themselves, and got caught up in the works that they're doing, even if they're good works. And it's easy if you don't have that background to get either burnt out or to get misled.
Well, so much of that happened, right? I mean, in our day with the seminaries where, oh, you don't pray the rosary anymore, you don't do this, you don't do that, and just incredible. But thank God Mother Angelica was there. God put her in place there for a very important reason to really, I think, bring back the church.
Absolutely. Well, we have free will, and we can do all those things. And what it proved is, you know, God's permitting will allows you to make those mistakes. And what we've seen through the scientific method, as they would say, is this has been found wanting. The mother warned about it. It turned out, obviously, to be true. All the bright lights who would tell us X, Y, and Z is the way it's really going to be going forward. Every time, it turns out to be untrue. The reality is, if you don't rely on God's providence, as Mother said, and you don't believe that what seems impossible is possible because you're involved with work that relies on God, you're going to get lost and you're going to get frustrated and misled.
Great way to end the segment, Doug. Thank you so much. Doug is our president and chief operating officer, and now a new title. I'm going to add this to it, Doug. King of Delegation. I like that.
That's right. I'm ascending.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday. Doug Keck with us, ladies and gentlemen, every Friday for Inside Word. Stay tuned. Fact Check Friday coming up. Minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. This program in particular, Catholic Connection, if you're a new listener, welcome on board, co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. And as Doug said, so much great programming coming up in the next couple of days, and of course tomorrow, which would have been Sweet Mother Angelica's 101st birthday. So keep that in mind and check everything out at EWTN.com. Okay, Fact Check Friday, what I wanted to focus on this morning is how much the media are out of touch. We've seen this, of course, with the recent development in the last 2 weeks have been a story that continues to have legs, as we say in the industry, and when it continues to move in different directions and more angles come up, that's what we mean by when a story has legs. And I've been talking a lot about this in the first hour of my show, because every day I have a segment called T's Two Cents, and then once a week I get together with Vanessa Denhagarmo, whom you know from filling in for me here at Catholic Connection, and she and I worked together for years in the secular media in Detroit, and she also has a daily show on Ave Maria Radio, and so we've been discussing it a lot and our perspectives back and forth as secular, former secular journalists. And what's really, I think, shocking, it is and it isn't for us because we've seen this coming. I wrote about this years ago in my very first book, Noise, which came out in 2007. But it's so much worse now as evidence of what's been happening. Just to recap very quickly, last week you had an NPR business editor, his name is Early Berliner, and he essayed, or I should say penned an essay that was posted on the Free Press website. And he really, I think very respectfully though, but really clarified through very, very specific details and instances what he saw and how much he tried to get the network to really live up to their reputation or their name as a public institution, National Public Radio, which receives public funding. Our tax dollars go to NPR. And for years, and he's a self-identified liberal who says, doesn't like Trump, never voted for him, and never will. That's fine. He has his own opinion. He's still a free country, at least for right now. But at least as a journalist, he knows where the separation has to be. You put those opinions aside, and you cover stories. And you cover stories even if you may be concerned as a particular person who votes a certain way that this story may hurt the man or the woman that I like who's running for office. But you put that aside because it's your job as a reporter. And for years, he actually tried to address this with superiors because he saw it getting worse and worse. And he finally said, nobody's listening, nobody is doing anything about it. And so he did a big piece, and it had a really, really big response. And it's still having a response. He was suspended a week later without pay. And then this week, he resigned. What is so interesting about media being out of touch is, well, there's several levels to this, but in the midst of all of this, so I just explained to you what's happened the last 2 weeks, okay? You have also the CEO of NPR, Catherine Marr, and it's now been revealed how left-leaning she is. She was even very critical of Hillary Clinton during the 2016 election, if you can imagine that. And so she's made some pretty bold statements against white men, against the government, with white men. I mean, all kinds of things, really very putting her in the category of extreme left. I mean, very, very left-leaning. And so what does she do instead of responding to this respected journalist who's won all kinds of awards, including a Peabody, which is a pretty big deal, Mr. Berliner? They suspend him, and they respond very defensively and say, it's not true what he's claiming, we're proud of our work, yada, yada, yada. And so all this controversy going on. And then Ms. Katie Couric sits down with Bill Maher on his podcast, and she basically takes a very broad brush and paints people who voted for Donald Trump back in 2020, basically painting them all the same way and not even thinking, amidst all this controversy where people are responding to the leftist coverage and to the way NPR does things and the way other media do things in terms of not hearing the voice of all the people and NPR not representing America because they're supposed to be America's institution, right, media institution. And she says, and Andrew has the clip, this about millions of people who voted for Donald Trump. Take a listen.
Socioeconomic disparities are a lot, and class resentment is a lot, what, and anti-intellectualism and elitism is what is driving many of these anti-establishment, which are Trump voters. I don't know if you've ever been jealous of what someone else has or resentful. It is such a corroding and bitter, almost vile feeling.
So I'm not sure where she comes up with this opinion that they're anti-intellectual, jealous, anti-establishment. Did she go out on the street with a microphone and a camera during the election in 2020 and interview people to come to that conclusion? I don't recall her doing that. Did she have any type of an interview with any Trump voters on her podcast? I haven't seen that. But she makes, you know, sweeping claims about a very, very large group of people representing pretty much, if you look at the breakdown of the vote, half of the country. And right now, if you look at where we stand in the election, and pretty much seems like it's going to be Joe Biden for the Democratic ticket and Donald Trump for the Republican ticket, you've got the country split in two because the polls are very close. Some polls show Trump leading, some polls show Biden leading. It keeps going back and forth, up and down. Obviously, that happens a few months before the election. So what she's basically doing is just insulting, when you come right down to it, half the country. Again, no background, no sourcing. Where did she come up with that information? Did she do a survey? Did she go out and talk to people that made her come to this conclusion? As a journalist, who's someone who's been on the air for decades? But what I thought was very refreshing was that Bill Maher, even though he is a strong liberal by his own admission and cannot stand Trump, he said, look, you can go after the candidate, as we should. As journalists, we should question them and you know, make sure they're being accurate. But what about the people? We need to know how they think and why they think that way. Take a listen.
It's not to defend Trump, but to defend the people who still vote for him, because what they see on the other side to them is even more dangerous, because it's very closer to home. My kid is coming home from school and he thinks he's a racist. He's uh-huh. five. What have you been telling him?
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
my son thinks maybe he's not a boy, and maybe that's true. That happens. But, you know, those kind of things are what they say. That's why I'm voting for Trump.
So good for him for challenging her. You have to see why people are voting this way. What is it that makes them tick? Why are they doing this? Are you going to go to the polls and ask those questions as a reporter? But talk about being out of touch. She makes a very broad statement about millions of people, doesn't back it up, and she says that in the midst of a big pushback against NPR for doing the very same thing and looking at a particular group of people a certain way. And yet she just says it so nonchalantly because that's deeply what she believes, even though she doesn't explain where she came up with that and how she came to believe such. Several years ago, I probably don't have time to explain this, but I was speaking in Cincinnati, hired by a pro-life group to come down and do a media training session. In the audience was a local anchorwoman, and one of the reps from the pro-life group came up to me and said, well, you know, she's never covered any of our events here, so I don't know what she's doing here today. The whole reason I was there was to give them a media training session and to talk to them about bias in the media. They gave very specific instances as well of media bias that they experienced. And what did the anchor woman do? She came after me as opposed to looking around at a focus group of her viewers who are complaining about local media coverage. Another example of how out of touch the secular media are. We'll be right back. Wrapping up a Friday morning, 39 minutes past the hour on April 19th. Great to catch up with Kelly Solomon. She's a VP of Newman Guide Programs at the Cardinal Newman Society. It's that time of year again. Highs and lows of Catholic commencements this year, 2024. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
Hi, Teresa. How are you? Great to be with
you. I'm well.
You.
Yes, good to have you here. Okay, so highs and lows of Catholic commencements. The floor is yours, my dear. Share with us, please.
Great. So, Teresa, as you know, the Cardinal Newman Society has kept a tab on Catholic education trends for more than 30 years now. And one thing we do almost every year is look at commencement speakers and honorary degree recipients at Catholic colleges. Because who a college chooses to honor at this such an important moment at the end of a school year says a lot about a Catholic college's priorities and values.
All right. So the good and the bad and the ugly. Let's have it.
Sure. So let's start with some good news. So the Newman Guide colleges are those that we recommend at newmanguide.org. They are the faithful Catholic colleges that we hold up as models. Catholic families, I really encourage you to check out these awesome Catholic colleges. Their choice of commencement speakers shows that they are really committed to strong Catholic identity. Ave Maria University in Florida will honor Father Mike Schmidt, Catholic priest and speaker. You know him from the Bible in the Year podcast, the Catechism in the Year podcast. I also love the choice at Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. Harrison Butker, obviously the professional football player with the Kansas City Chiefs, and he is outspoken about his Catholic faith and his pro-life values. Another example is the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. will honor Jonathan Rumi, the actor that portrays Jesus Christ in the Chosen TV series. He obviously publicly shares his Catholic faith. And so, you know, the Newman Guide colleges, they're choosing those who are publicly in support of their Catholic faith, who uphold Catholic moral teaching, and who model good virtues and holy lives for students to emulate as they graduate from college.
Okay, so let's go on the opposite end of the spectrum, things that aren't looking so bright at other quote-unquote Catholic universities.
Exactly. Unfortunately, so many Catholic colleges, we see this time and time again, are choosing to honor those who are very publicly not upholding Catholic moral teaching. A few examples, Fordham University in New York will honor former Congressman Joseph Patrick Kennedy III of the Kennedy family. He was asked at one time by his bishop to stop receiving Holy Communion because of his pro-abortion views. This honoring pro-abortion politicians and others who publicly support abortion is a strong theme, unfortunately, this year at several Catholic colleges. Rosemont College in Pennsylvania has invited State Representative Joanna McClinton to deliver the college's commencement address and receive an honorary degree. 2 years ago, I remember seeing this speech. She went viral on the internet with a pro-abortion speech. Another example, Spring Hill College will actually host the president of Fordham University. Fordham is the first one I mentioned who's honoring Kennedy. The president of Fordham is Tanya Tetlow. She's expressed her support of same-sex marriage. And she has an interview where she says, quote, she was raised in a different worldview than, quote, those who hold gender as binary, as in, you know, male
and female.
Thanks
for that.
Yes. So the list goes on and on. Teresa, I could give a few more examples.
Yeah, please do. Just curious. Go ahead.
Yes. The University of Notre Dame. I'm sure you remember, Teresa, we were on with you back in 2009, the University of Notre Dame honored President Barack Obama at commencement. This decision was strongly supported by the president of the University of Notre Dame, Father John Jenkins. Father John Jenkins is about to step down as president at the University of Notre Dame, and so they've chosen him to give the commencement speech this year. You know, at that time when he defended Obama being on campus, 83 American bishops opposed this decision, and 367,000 people signed the Cardinal Newman Society's petition saying this is not good for the University of Notre Dame to honor the most pro-abortion president in history. And Father Jenkins defended this decision. He will give the address this year. And, you know, looking back at his time at Notre Dame, unfortunately, there's been many other leadership decisions that have been unfortunate, like including contraceptive coverage in the university's health plans, hosting the scandalous V Monologues play on campus, having a queer film festival on campus. You know, we know there's a lot of great things going on at Notre Dame, and we pray for the university's full renewal because, unfortunately, these decisions from the leadership often are not reflecting strong Catholic identity.
Yeah. So what do you think, Kelly, what you suggest at the Cardinal Newman Society, because there's obviously big concerns here with some of these universities you mentioned, Catholic, you know, so-called Catholic colleges. Obviously, yes. if parents are aware ahead of time of where some of these colleges are going or have gone with, you know, promoting things that are against the Catholic Church, they have a choice in terms of what they're going to pay for their students in terms of their college education. But what else in terms of doing a good job of looking at the schools, which you provide so much great information? What do you think we could do out of concern if, let's say, if we don't have children in college, but we're concerned that Catholic institutions are doing these kinds of things? Because it affects all of us.
It does. You know, we have more than 200 Catholic colleges in the country, and imagine if every one of them invited leaders in the church who are faithful witnesses, pro-life leaders who are promoting pro-marriage and pro-family efforts, right? How amazing would that be to hold up all these models? So I encourage families, maybe you don't have a son or daughter going off to college right now. Maybe you have grandchildren going off to college. Make sure they know about the Newman Guide. Make sure the people you see every week at church, maybe every day at church, that they know about the Newman Guide. You know, all Catholic colleges are not the same, and commencement is just the latest example to see the striking difference between Newman Guide colleges and every other Catholic college in the country. You know, for years we reported on these issues, and we thought, well, you know, if we just bring them to light, the Catholic colleges will change. They will stop doing these things. Unfortunately, they have secularized to such a degree that the change isn't happening at many of these colleges. Yeah. But families can know they can invest their resources in other places. They can send their children to other places, and they can make sure every Catholic family in America knows what's going on.
Yeah, it reminds me of the situation with the secular media right now. You know, we've been doing a lot with that story, and I just talked about it for 10 minutes on my Fact Check Friday segment about the former NPR business senator who resigned over what was going on there. And Bernie Goldberg, remember him from CBS News, who spoke out about bias and wrote a book about it? Another person who identified as liberal but knows his role as a journalist, but he wrote a really good op-ed and was saying that he would like to think that this is going to force the media to wake up and change, but he doesn't see it happening. He really doesn't. So it's kind of similar to what you're saying. I see kind of a correlation there between the two.
Yep, exactly. So what we can do is build up these strong places that are doing amazing things, right, who are committed to hiring good Catholic professors, who have vibrant spiritual lives on campus, who have wholesome campus life, because we need good places to send our kids to where they're going to be supported in their faith. They're not going to be confused about church teaching. You know, another example of commencement is Loyola Marymount University and Georgetown University will each present a Lavender graduation for students who identify as LGBT+. Right? These events confuse students, and they don't uphold church teaching on human sexuality and gender by separating out these graduations like this.
And sometimes it's difficult. For example, I know a lot of people hear these stories, and you know this from dealing with the situation years ago with Barack Obama and Notre Dame, will call out, let's say, the local bishop and say they need to shut it down. But because of the way these schools are run or constructed or organized, a lot of times the bishops can't, they can speak out about it as they did in that case, but they can't stop an event from happening because they're not under their specific jurisdiction.
Right. Yes, the whole history of Catholic education and the relationship with the church makes it challenging, but still encourage families to reach out, to let their bishop know, to let others know about their concerns, and see the full list of these commencement scandals at our website, cardinalnewmansociety.org. We'll continue to add the good and the bad as they come up.
So you can get this all online, correct, Kelly, in terms of the guide?
Yes. The entire Newman Guide is available for free online at newmanguide.org. And you can see this full commencement article we have at cardinalnewmansociety.org. You can also find our Newman Guide by going to our main website as well.
Given all the issues that we're facing, some of which you mentioned today, do you find a growing interest or more people signing up to get the Newman Guide?
Yes, we sure do. We've seen a 16% increase in traffic to the Newman Guide over the last year. So that means, you know, more than 85,000 families are coming to the Newman Guide online every year. And we're so grateful for others who are helping us spread the word and let families know about these good, faithful options. We're also seeing a huge growth in our K-12 efforts as well. We now have expanded the Newman Guide to include K-12 Catholic schools. And so we're working with dozens of Catholic schools and dioceses to help them strengthen their Catholic identity so that they can meet the standards of the Newman Guide. So those of you who are listening, encourage your local Catholic school to reach out to us and work through the Newman Guide process, find what they need to do to strengthen their identity and be recommended in the Newman Guide.
How long does it take you, really? Because there's a lot of work and research that goes into this. And by the way, we're wrapping up with Kelly Solomon, the VP of the Newman Guide programs at the Cardinal Newman Society. When preparing to put out the highs and lows every year, the different commencement speakers, when do you start? Because they usually announce it, I would say, like probably in March, right? Or in February, March is going to be the commencement speaker.
Exactly. And you know what? There's still a number that have not been released yet. Some of them seem to hold them until the last minute. So we'll still see some over the next 2 weeks. Many of the Catholic colleges are holding their commencements the last weekend in April, the first 2 weekends in May. So we'll still see a number of them released. But yes, it does take some time to go through these. But we think it's important for Catholic families to know where they can find a college that's going to uphold their Catholic values in all aspects, including in their choice of commencement speaker and honorary degree recipient.
All right. So anything else you want to share that you're working on before we let you go?
Sure. Well, Teresa, next month we'll be announcing the winner of our $5,000 essay scholarship contest. It's our annual contest for high school seniors. Catholic families who want to participate next year can sign up for our Recruit Me program on our website. And I would love to come back sometime, Teresa, and tell you about the awesome student that will be awarded our $5,000 gift and then be attending a Newman Guide college this fall.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I don't know if you could get the student on with you, but that would be a lot of fun.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what are, before we let you go, what are the qualifications of that? How do you just have to submit it by a certain deadline, the essay?
Sure. So students sign up for our recruitment program on the Cardinal Newman Society's website. That allows Catholic colleges recommending the Newman Guide to recruit that student. Our contest opens every year in December. Essays are due by February, and we announce the winner in May. You have to be a high school senior who's planning to attend a Newman Guide College to participate.
Thank you for all this great information. I think it's really helpful. I think it's also informative for those of us, even if we don't have kids in high school or college, to know what's going on, because the education, the way they're educating our young people today, is a really, really big issue that's impacting our culture greatly. Kelly, thanks so much. One more time before you go, give us the website for the Newman Guide.
Yes, go to newmanguide.org, go to cardinalnewmansociety.org, and check out the full commencement article. Teresa, thank you so much for upholding strong, faithful Catholic education, encouraging families to check it out. We're so grateful for the work you're doing.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm big in that, because I'm a product of Catholic education. I went to 8 years of a wonderful Catholic school that helped me discover my vocation. That happened when I was a child, and actually in second or third grade, if you can believe that. And I'll never forget it, and I truly believe in Catholic education. Kelly, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Again, Kelly Solomon, VP of the Newman Guide Programs and the Cardinal Newman Society. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection to wrap up a Friday. Stay tuned.
Ciao, my name is Antonio Ruggiero, and if you're in the mood for some real authentic Italian food, Antonio's is the place. We make everything in-house the old-fashioned way, fatta in casa. We make our own soups, sauces, pastas, and of course, our famous baked bread. Come on in and try one of our signature dishes that my mom created, like gnocchi Rita, that I know you can't find anywhere else because there's only one Mama Rita and she's at Antonio's. So come break bread with us.
Antonio's Cucina Italiana.
Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella is a musical adaptation of the classic fairy tale that is sure to delight the entire family. Father Gabriel Richard High School Drama Club is pleased to present Cinderella April 25th through 28th at Milan High School. Don't miss your chance to see the beautiful, hilarious, and delightful Cinderella live and in person. Rediscover the magic. Buy tickets now at FGRHS.org. That's FGRHS.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Couples who go on the Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. Join us for the next Good News Cruise in January on the Oasis of the Seas. On board will be Ave Maria Radio hosts as well as Cardinal Timothy Dolan, Bishop Kevin Rose, and Father Mike Schmitz. Use promo code Easter and book by April 30th to save $100 per person. Cabins are filling up fast. Book your spot now to get your preferred choice. Faith and fun on the sea and in the sun. Click the travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
So appreciate your listenership here at EWTN. And don't forget, Doug Keck went through a whole list of great programming coming up this week and especially dedicated to our foundress, Mother Angelica. So check it out online. Very easy to do so. And that would be, of course, EWTN.com for the list of all the great programs coming up. And we're excited that on Monday we are going to be featuring the one, the only, Dr. Scott Hahn is joining us. He and Kimberly Hahn are going to be guests, speakers on the Good News Cruise. We can't wait to see them. There's all kinds of... Oh, no, they're going to be at the Grand Hotel Getaway. They were at the cruise last year. There are pre-night speakers to the cruise. They're going to be at the Grand Hotel Getaway. That's coming up in July at beautiful Mackinac Island. If you've never been to Mackinac Island, it would be a great, great getaway for you. It's right after the Eucharistic Congress, so you still have time if you're doing that. And you could shoot up from Indiana and just go up, you know, the west side of Michigan and come see us in northern Michigan at beautiful Mackinac Island in the Straits of Mackinac. So Scott will be joining us on Monday, of course, Gail Buckley with our Scripture Verse of the Week. Wishing you a beautiful and a very blessed weekend for this Good Shepherd Sunday. And don't forget, as I recommended at the top of the hour, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Read those readings and especially read them before Mass. And speaking of which, I can't remember if I mentioned Gail Buckley joining us for our Scripture Verse of the Week. Talk to you later. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.